Hi, this is Pastor Adam Matheny of Our Savior's Lutheran Church in Mankato. We are a member congregation of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod that strives to embody the historic teachings and practices of the Christian Church as found in the sacred scriptures. If you enjoy or have questions about this brief message, please get in touch with us. Our building is located at 1103 North Broad Street in Mankato. We have divine service at 8 o'clock and 10:30 on Sunday mornings, with Bible class and Sunday school between at 9:15. Again, this is Pastor Adam Matheny of Our Savior's Lutheran Church, and thanks for listening. Today's broadcast is brought to you by Joan Tim, in loving memory of Richard and Jeffrey Tim. Today's reading comes from the Holy Gospel according to St. Mark, the 9th chapter, verses 30 through 37. They went on from there and passed through Galilee, and he did not want anyone to know, for he was teaching his disciples, saying to them, "The Son of Man is going to be delivered into the hands of men, and they will kill him. And when he is killed, after 3 days, he will rise." But they did not understand the saying, and were afraid to ask him. And they came to Capernaum, and when he was in the house, he asked them, "What were you discussing on the way?" But they kept silent, for on the way they had argued with one another about who was the greatest. And he sat down and called the 12, and he said to them, "If anyone would be first, he must be last of all and servant of all." And he took a child and put him in the midst of them, and taking him in his arms, he said to them, "Whoever receives one such child in my name receives me, and whoever receives me receives not me, but him who sent me." Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father, through our Lord and our Savior Jesus. Amen. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, I'm going to use a term here that I'm guessing most of you or many of you probably don't know what it is. So I'm going to start off by defining my terms in the form of a question, though. Do any of you know what I mean when I say that someone is the GOAT? Some of you know what I mean. I see some emphatic nods back there. Thank you. This is one of those silly things that kids make up, so you're not really missing anything, but I will tell you what it is. The GOAT, someone who is the GOAT, right, is, it's an acronym, the greatest of all time. So this is like a silly social media thing, like I said, and normally when someone's making an argument about who is the greatest of all time, they put these silly little goat emojis, you know, in their text messages or tweets or whatever it is, right? Just to make an even stronger point that this person is in fact the greatest, right? Now, even if you don't know what the term the GOAT is, right, and now you all do, you're familiar with the conversation that's happening around the GOAT. Right, this is a conversation that happens all the time, and I think especially men will know what I'm talking about when I talk about the argument that accompanies the GOAT. This is the argument normally associated with sports, so I'm going to do my best to pretend like I know what I'm talking about this morning. You know, where you say like, "Well, who do you think is the best quarterback that's ever been in the NFL?" Right? Guys, I know you've had this conversation a bunch of times about every sport probably. Right? And somebody's like, "Well, for sure it's got to be Aaron Rodgers." I got in trouble for not mentioning him in the first service, so I covered my bases, right? No, Peyton Manning for sure. You're nuts. Joe Montana in his prime was way better than either of those guys, right? Yeah, but Tom Brady's still playing. He could get in even better, right? And it's kind of just this good-natured sort of banter that goes back and forth, and it's really just a game of showing off, you know, how much you know about football or basketball or baseball or whatever. Right? But people argue about who is the GOAT, the greatest of all time. But everyone who's had this conversation more than once knows that there's always this problem that comes up when you start talking about who is the greatest. Right? And that is, what metric do you use? How exactly do you measure a person's greatness so that you can assess it and make sure to get them in the right spot? Right? This is where I'll show my ignorance because I don't know who actually has any of these statistics, so just pretend like I'm getting the right answer, right? You know, "Oh, well, such and such, he's got the most Super Bowl trophies. That's the only thing that matters, right?" Well, no, this guy has far more MVPs than this guy does, so he's way better for sure. Yeah, but this person has the best win percentage. That's much more important than anything else, because all that, you know, winning is the only thing that really matters, right? These are all, by the way, actual arguments that I've heard and that I'm sure many of you have also heard about who's the greatest, right? So you get put up to this problem of how do you assess, how do you measure whether or not someone is great? What makes them great? And that's what sort of makes the conversation fun and worth having, right? Now, if I can belabor my football analogies this morning, I think I've telegraphed my past to all of you. You know where we're going here at this point, right? Because that's exactly what Jesus' disciples are talking about today, right? Who is the greatest? Now, if you ask me, and none of you did, but I'll pretend like you did anyways, this is a pretty funny gospel lesson that we've got this morning. It's humorous, right? We got Jesus, as he often is, wandering around Galilee with his disciples, and they're, you know, as you would imagine, just kind of walking together, right? But we're told Jesus only wants to walk with his disciples because he has something to tell them. He wants to teach his disciples, and what he's saying to them is this: the Son of Man is going to be delivered into the hands of men, and they will kill him. And when he is killed, after 3 days, he will rise. So Jesus is conveying to his disciples the core message, his core mission, what he has come to earth to do. And the first thing that's a little funny is, but they did not understand the saying and were afraid to ask him. So Jesus is telling his disciples exactly what he's all about, and they don't know. They don't get it. They don't understand what he's saying. And even more than that, they're actually too embarrassed to admit their ignorance and ask him to clarify, which is kind of funny given that Jesus' whole purpose is to teach them, right? So when I reconstruct it in my mind, Jesus is walking along. He's telling his disciples about his death and resurrection. They're confused, and so they sort of drift off a little bit, you know? And Jesus starts walking out in front, leading the way, and they're following along like a, you know, a herd of ducks or something, right? Well, so Jesus is walking out front, and all his disciples are walking behind, and so they start talking to each other because they're all too nervous to talk to Jesus. So they get to Capernaum, where they're going. They're kind of home base, right? And when they get to the house, Jesus, who's been left out of the conversation the whole time, turns to them and says, "Hey guys, what were you talking about on the walk? You know, you weren't talking to me, so you must have been talking about something, right?" And once again, the disciples are too embarrassed to tell Jesus what they're saying because they had been having this argument about Joe Montana, right? Who is the greatest? Now, our assumption is they're not actually arguing about Joe Montana, right? Or Peyton Manning or any of those other guys. They're talking about how they think they're the greatest, right? And they're arguing with each other about how they're better than their friend is, than their fellow disciple is. "Well, I'm more important." "Yeah, but I'm so much more distinguished than you are. You are uncultured by my standards." Right? Jesus then takes them all aside, and he has something to say to them, and this is important. "And he sat down and called the 12, and he said to them, 'If anyone would be first, he must be last of all and servant of all.'" Now, this is an important thing to notice, right? Because in our well-formed Midwestern minds, what we think Jesus is saying is, don't talk about who's the greatest. That would be immodest. We all know, as Midwesterners, that you don't talk about who is the greatest. Instead, you acknowledge internally that you're the greatest and expect everyone else to notice. But you pretend humility when anyone else is watching, right? But in fact, that's not what Jesus says to them, and that's not what he does. Let me read it again. "And he said to them, 'If anyone would be first, he must be last of all and servant of all.'" Jesus is not saying this is a conversation that you shouldn't be having, What he's saying is, okay, guys, you want to talk about who's the greatest? Let me set the rules. Let me set the metric. Let me give you the ruler for how we are going to determine who is the greatest. And then go ahead and have the conversation. Now, what's interesting about this is Jesus' metric for measuring greatness is unlike anyone else's. Right? If you want to be first, actually what you should be is last. And if you want to be the master, actually you should just be the slave. This is unlike anyone else's metric for how you become great, because it's the opposite of what you would expect. Jesus' idea of what makes a person great is not our idea of how a person becomes great. Because just think about it. If you measure greatness in the normal way that you might choose to measure greatness, by riches or power or influence or popularity, there are probably many people who would outdo Jesus in terms of greatness, right? How about the Roman Caesars? Conquered much of the world. How about, I don't know, William Shakespeare? We've been reading his work for a long time. It's an enduring legacy. What about FDR? Winston Churchill? All of these people spread their greatness across the world in profound and amazing ways. But they're not greater than Jesus. That is, Jesus is the GOAT. Because we evaluate greatness not based on the way that we inherit from the world. We don't think of greatness as power, as riches, as influence, as popularity. But we use the metric that Jesus gives us, right? If anyone would be first, he must be last of all and servant of all. And when you use that metric, when you use that ruler to measure greatness, there is only one answer to who the ultimate GOAT is. Jesus. Because no matter how hard any of you work your fingers to the bone, doing your best to serve everyone you can, your powers are limited. You can at best serve the people around you. And some of you might do a fantastic job and serve lots of people. But none of you can serve more people than Jesus. Because as you well know, his whole purpose for his ministry, his whole purpose for his incarnation was to serve the entire world. That through his teachings, through his life, through his death and resurrection, he claimed the entire world with his blood. He served everyone through the forgiveness of their sins and the offer of life everlasting. Even if the gift weren't on another scale from any other gift that you could offer, just by the scope of it, he outdoes everyone with no contest. He came not to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many, many meaning everybody. His whole purpose was to release the entire creation from the bonds of sin and death and destruction, and to release into this world life everlasting. Something beyond our comprehension, even though we possess it. Brothers and sisters, Jesus is unlike anyone else. And there's no doubt that he's the GOAT. He's the best that ever has been or ever will be. Be thankful, grateful today that in fact he is your master, that he has come to serve you. And he serves you today and every day. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
I hope you enjoyed this brief sample of Our Savior's Lutheran Church. To learn more about our congregation, visit our website at www.oslcmankato.org or give us a call at 507-385-2000. 2180. Thanks again for listening, and God bless you.